Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Remember earlier in this week when the Niners were like, Brock Purdy's going to speak, and they sent that out to the media, and everyone's like, Brock Purdy's going to speak, and then everyone went to the podium, and there was no Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy didn't speak, and so everyone's like, when's the quarterback going to talk? Well, was this today, Grandy? So now the Niners, they did a little makeup game, and Mac Jones spoke, so we've got 6 good minutes of Mac. As I used to say in Jamaica, Big Mac, Big Mac.
Nice. Eight weeks ago.
Well, I was drunk. But anyway, Mac spoke for 6 minutes.
Great.
And
let's drink.
Thank you. And then at 4:15, we will play that for you. All you Mac Jones fans
out there. 6 minutes
of
Mac.
6 minutes. Yeah. It's the return of the Mac.
I love it.
At 4:15.
And count me among the Mac Jones fans, because I think that, especially as I look at his career log.
Why? Like, fine, but why?
Because he's played enough football. He started enough football. He has started playoff games. He was handpicked by Shanahan and Lynch in the offseason and paid handsomely to be a backup. So go out there and be our backup and win a game that you should win.
Okay, agreed. And I root
That's
for
why
all.
I'm
no,
a fan.
No, but here. So I'm trying to learn something about where you're coming from on this.
I just spelled it out perfectly.
No, because I asked you why you're a fan, and what you gave me were
a lot of circumstantial.
Right,
sure.
It's a bunch of things that he did, but none of them were impressive. It's just he played.
Going 10-6 as a rookie and going to the playoffs
but
is
you didn't
not impressive. I absolutely said that.
No, you said he's played.
I said he went and he played a playoff game.
You said he's played.
I said he played a playoff game, which means that you started all year.
When
you won enough games to be in the playoffs. That matters.
I want to know, when you watch Mac, what did you see where you're like, that's a good quarterback?
A guy who is efficient enough with things around him that he has around him to where he can win games.
Right.
You don't win 20 games in the NFL by complete accident.
No, I don't. Listen, I don't think I've said all week that Mac is a joke. That Mac needs help getting out of bed in the morning. Boy, I hope there's somebody to tie his shoes. I'm not saying any of those things, but I'm struggling to find the person. Even the Niners themselves, their press conferences have been hilarious this week.
He's a fun guy.
What's everybody's confidence in Mac? Well, it's hilarious.
Yeah, teammates love him.
He wears weird suits. My wife talked about him. Christian McCaffrey was asked on Monday, What do y'all like about Mac? Well, Mac has been here, and Mac has played games, and Mac's really likable, and he's fun. We love Mac. And I'm like, where is that? I'm trying to sink my teeth into something that someone saw where they're like, not at Alabama, but since Alabama.
Well, Shanahan said that.
Where it's like, dude, that he plays really good at quarterback.
Didn't Shanahan say that yesterday when he talked about what Mac Jones brings and stuff, and you know he likes Mac Jones and he's been here a long time.
It took you 2 sentences to get right back.
Well, I don't know the exact cut.
Well, here's what he said.
His same this week as he's been all camp. You know, our team really believes in him. Our team really enjoys him, and he did a hell of a job this week in practice.
Okay.
That's from today, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know what we had earlier. Do we have anything earlier in the week?
It's okay. It's not even
from
that
Wednesday.
Important.
He's got swag. Like, again.
Ultimately,
I think he is funny. I think he's himself. My wife said he must be real funny and have a sense of humor because she saw his suit that he wore last week to the game. I said, I don't think he's trying to be funny. He's just got swag. So it's just him. But no, Max himself makes guys laugh. He's got a lot of energy, and I think our guys have really enjoyed him so far.
Yeah, it's all great.
What was the question? Like, what's Mac like in the locker room? What's Mac like as a guy?
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what the question was.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Ultimately, all the words that Kyle is going to utter about Mac Jones, it doesn't matter. He'll either go out and play well and they'll win. He'll play well and they'll lose. He'll play bad and they'll win.
Yeah.
Or he'll play bad and they'll lose.
Right. So those, and that's
none of this matters.
No, but of course it matters. We're just hanging out talking.
Sure.
Like, that's where my brain is. You just came up with four possibilities, and I think all of them are possible.
Right.
So none of that breeds confidence. There's no should there. There's no expectation there. There's
yeah, that's for you. For yes. me, there is should, and there is expectation.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering what it was you saw.
The better team. Well, what I've seen, and I haven't seen every snap of his 49 starts, but over the course of his career, he is at times accurate. And he, like any other quarterback, there's times when you're not accurate. Brock Purdy threw two interceptions in week one. I think Mac Jones has enough experience to not be wowed by the moment or wowed by the crowd. I think being here for 6 months allows him to understand the scheme and the system at a high enough level to where you're not going to have to inhibit what he does based on how new he is in the system. You know, if you get down to Martinez, if he has to come in,
right.
Well, then it's like Josh Johnson all over again in the NFC Championship. Where,
maybe. How do we know? I don't know what he's going to do. Maybe
he's
awesome.
He's brand new. He's brand new in the system, but I don't imagine that he has the same command of the playbook that Mac Jones would after six months.
But we would have said that about Brock Purdy when Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo were in front of him. Turns out that was actually the guy.
But he had been here all spring and summer, and he had been with the team all the way up until he was asked to play in November.
But my point is, like, from my eyes, it's not about just like, oh, you've been around and so you know the playbook. I'm like, what's your talent level? Like, Brock Purdy's way more talented than those other guys. Maybe Adrian Martinez got a bunch. I don't know. I've never seen him play.
Me either.
I've never seen him play. I know that Mac is missing some things. That I know because I've watched him play.
Yeah, I know that Mac is a guy who was highly regarded out of college, and he's been regarded enough to where multiple teams have wanted him on their team.
Here's Shanahan. This is, I think, what we were looking for earlier in the week. He was asked, is Mac ready to start?
Mac knows how to play the position. He can play well in the pocket, distributes the ball well, sees coverage as well, can play fast in there. He's got a lot of good film from the NFL with his experience and obviously college. Tough guy who'll hang in there and deliver the ball where it needs to go.
Okay, that's got meat on it. I can take a bite out of that a little bit. I'm glad that they weren't like, is he ready to start? Well, I tell you what, he's going to have the huddle in shambles.
Right.
Guy's freaking hilarious out there.
Right.
You know? Yeah, Lucas, what's up?
Oh, I just wanted to ask you guys a question about Mac Jones to help you promote his little press conference today. You ready?
Ready.
So we know he's from Jacksonville, nice southern boy, very polite. I listened to the whole piece that we're going to play here.
Okay.
Coming up on the other side after this break. There were about 8 questions here. How many times in a reaction, an instant reaction to these questions from the assembled media, did Mac Jones first respond with, that's a great question?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's a good question.
In the, you said there were 8 questions?
Approximately 8, yeah.
I'll go 6.
I'm going to go 4. 4, just 4.
You're going to have to tune in to find out.
Wow.
It's a great tease right there.
I've never wanted to hear an interview more in my life.
And how many times does he start it with Grant Brisby?
Thank you. I'll put the over-under at 0.5, and I'll take the under.
Woo.
Yeah.
It's a great question.
If he does that, that's weird. But it's weird.
What if he comes with and I can't remember who that one is.
That's, it's Schlereth,
Filippone.
Right?
Filippone.
He finished it, didn't
right.
he?
Dude, that's a great question. That's a great question.
That's what I'm talking about.
But he finished it.
But the Schlereth was, it's going to be a good game. Yeah.
Real quick, Willard, did you guess that 6 of the 8 responses started with that's a great question?
Well, you're asking, so it's got to be. Yeah, it's got to be something. Like it's a steroided number.
It's such a great question,
dude. Thank you. And it's a great question, Lucas.
Nice, yeah.
Thank you for asking it.
Yeah, that's a great question because I think that, it's a great question and a hard question to answer.
Yeah. So good.
Postel great questions last at least a week and a half.
I mean, what kind of question is that?
Yeah.
There is that. Boy.
Who was that?
That's our friend Jay Gruden.
Oh, Jay Gruden.
What kind of question is that?
He had like this tiny little
What kind of question is that?
He had the tiniest little bit of Bill Burr in him. Like just a little tinge.
Look at the big brain on you.
I hate everybody.
Not gets by you, pal.
That's right.
Nothing gets past you.
He clowned us both in that interview.
You got that gig, dude.
Yeah, that was me.
All ginger.
So stupid. Not one of my finest moments.
Yeah, but it kind of was.
Yeah.
All right.
Brock Purdy's thrown, I'm sorry, Mac Jones has thrown at least one interception in 30 of his 49 starts. So
okay.
There's that. Yeah. And just spoiler alert on that, when he throws a pick, his team tends to lose.
They tend to lose.
7-23 when he throws a pick.
I hope he doesn't throw a pick.
Me either.
All right.
Hope he doesn't throw two like your boy.
Here comes the...
Oh, Brock, they were good throws.
I'm not insulting Brock Purdy, but... Brock Purdy.
That was funny. All right, here comes Mac Jones. Count them up, everybody, on Willard and Dibbs.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
At his best in Jacksonville, what was he really good at?
That's a very difficult question.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
I can't catch a break. That's a really difficult question. Are difficult questions great? No, they're just difficult.
It depends.
Yeah.
But my favorite part of that is before he even starts talking. There's a pause and a...
At his best in Jacksonville, what was he really good at?
That's a very difficult question.
There
was a big inhale, too.
Yep.
He took a big old sniff. I don't know how to answer that one.
Yeah. A little guru sniff in there.
Yeah. I mean, look, that's how all the people who have covered Mac Jones feel about Mac Jones.
Sure.
I hope that Mac Jones just, this unlocks him. Let's unlock him.
Right.
Let's unlock the Mac.
Well, what did we learn about Sam Darnold? We learned that multiple places, Carolina and the Jets, and I was seeing ghosts. He's seeing ghosts. Yep. And then he comes here, and he has a year with Kyle. Next thing you know, he leads a team to an unbelievable season, and he gets that bag.
No way to know if that had anything to do with Kyle. I know he was here. That, I guess, would help.
Yeah, but he says that it had something to do with Kyle.
You know, and I think the world of O'Connell.
Yep.
And he's really good in Minnesota, and we've got very, very few returns with regard to how it's going to look at Seattle. But those early returns are not great, Bob. Not great. So we'll see. I've never been one of these people that, like, surroundings matter. Of course they do. That's why I asked Greg Cosell the question of whether or not he believes Mac Jones has ever had what he needs around him. And he, before I was even done with the question, he's like, no. So, yeah, there's hope tucked into that answer, for sure.
You'd be wrong.
Yeah. I mean, thanks, Greg.
I think surroundings for a quarterback matter a lot more than what we as casual fans or, you know, non-football observers give credit for.
Totally agree. But then when we do let that into our atmosphere, we immediately go, oh, product of the system.
Right.
And we use it as a way to detract the quarterback.
And Kurt Warner taught us that they're all system quarterbacks. Right. And I love when he said that. That was about a year ago. And anytime we get him on at the end of the segment, I feel a lot smarter about football because he's right. System quarterback. And what kind of a quarterback was he with the New York Giants? Not as good. He didn't have Marshall and Isaac and Torrey and you know, Azakim and all the rest of the fellas.
We're going to play Mac Jones here in just a moment. I don't think the Harry Callis thing works nearly as well when it's the Rangers playing the Mets.
You could do Boach.
So do you want... Oh, okay. We could do that.
So Texas is playing at New York, and we're
Texas,
all,
the game
we're
is
all
rooting
against the Mets.
Right.
And so if I could ask Boach in the dugout, like...
Hey, Mark, this is Boach.
How things are going. Hey, Boach, the game's underway. How you guys doing?
Well, Josh Jung, base hit. So now there's another base hit. So 2-0. 2-0, good guys. First inning.
Yeah, top of the first.
Top of the first inning.
Thanks, Boach.
2-0 Rangers.
Hey. All right, Mark. Happy birthday.
Hey, Mark.
Thanks, Boach.
That still goes down as the shortest interview in the history of 95.7 The Game.
My favorite interview and the shortest interview. Yeah.
I've got to go.
There'll be no questions today. Just a birthday salutation.
All right, big moment. Yeah, so Rangers up 2-0 with still Ducks on the pond.
See, it works.
Absolutely. It does. All right, but here's Mac Jones. Remember, you're paying attention to two things. A, what is he saying? And B, in 8 asked questions, how many times does he first answer with, that's a great question? There's only one way to find out, and it's right here on 95.7 The Game with your radio hosts in the afternoon, Willie and Dibby. All right, they started out, first question to Mac was about how he's helped his former teammate, Kendrick Bourne, pick up the Niners playbook this week.
Definitely spent a lot of time together, had a couple extra meetings with him. And just continued our friendship that we have. He knows how I see the game, and he does a great job coming back to the ball and playing hard and playing for 60 minutes. And one thing about KB, he's going to give everything he's got, like a lot of receivers in that room, you know, Ricky, JJ. So they're all built from the same stuff. And I'm looking forward to just competing for 60 minutes.
Your teammates have really spoken to, like, your sense of humor quite a lot. Obviously, you've been in a lot of great situations to play quarterback. I'm curious, like, does that personality ever come off as a lack of focus, or has it always been, you know, your ability to channel that in some way?
Yeah, I definitely think that's part of my personality, and I play to have fun and to try and win, and I think a lot of guys play football. It's hard when you're in the NFL and it's your job, but at the end of the day, winning is fun, and I understand that, and I want to go out there and be loose. And you talked about focus, and my goal is to have intentional focus, focus on each play, one play at a time, and slot each play. So they're one play, even if there's 70 of them, you just take it one play at a time and do your job on each play. And then at the end, you can look back and grade it. But try and get into that game mindset where you're not in a practice mindset and you're out there just playing football, having fun, and going through your reads and your plays and moving the tempo of the huddle. So that's what I'm going to focus on, and I'll let the results take care of themselves.
You described the sense of humors of Nick Saban and Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I've definitely had a very interesting, great line of coaches that have helped me. And obviously Kyle, too. Kyle's really funny, and I feel like we're the most similar in terms of just our humor. But it's been good to learn from some great people, and I've just really been grateful to be here and learn from Kyle and the great coaches that we have here, too.
Nick Bosa was saying the other day that, you know, if we were going to go to a backup, maybe it's the bright side is it's good to happen at the beginning of the year when the reps and stuff are still fresh, as opposed to maybe 10 games into the season
where
you haven't taken a snap. Is there something to that?
Yeah, a little bit. I think as a backup, all you know is you're not taking the first snap, and everything after that's fair game. So that's how I prepare. And like I said, I've done this a lot of times. That doesn't mean I'll be great at it one way or the other. It just means I have a schedule and system that I know that works for me as a starter, and got to do that this week, and yeah, that's a great point by him. Obviously, it's fresh, and like last year, I didn't play until the 10th or 8th game of the year or whatever, and not that you're rusty, but it's just a little different. You just have to continue to work throughout the whole season, and obviously, this opportunity is what I'm focused on, and like I said, take it one play at a time, and that's what will happen.
Are there things you could draw on from last year? I mean, when you were a rookie, you were a starter from day one, but last year, you know, you began the season in this role as the backup.
Yeah.
Is there stuff that you can draw from the experience last year of being called upon and now?
Yeah, for sure. That's a great question. And
number one.
I'm fortunate to kind of play a lot of different roles. And at the end of the day, your job as a quarterback is to either hand it off or throw it. And that's how simple I'm going to keep it. And that's when I play my best, when I have a low pulse and kind of just go out there and go through my reads and obviously have that intensity and focus. But really go out there, whether you're the backup or starter, and whether you play the first play or not, you got to be ready to play and have your system that works for you. And I'm very confident in that, and I've put a lot of work into that this offseason.
Now Adrian's going to be the backup, and he's got to approach it like, you know, he's one play away. What have been your observations of him in the quarterback room? What you like what you see?
Oh, yeah. I really like Adrian a lot. Obviously Brock's in there and helping us, and Adrian came in, and he's just a really laid-back, cool guy and easy to work with. So, like, that's kind of what you want. And I feel like he's been in some good QB rooms with the Jets and stuff, and played a lot of football. So I'm excited to have him in there, and we've had a great week of preparation. And right now it's about dialing in the last couple hours here and putting our best foot forward.
What's your background like in noisy stadiums and anything in the NFL compared to what you dealt with in college?
Yeah, everything, every game is different, right? But I really just understand what that means. Obviously, communication is more difficult, and you have to accept that, and it's not going to be perfect, but you just have to play functional, meaning, like I said, run it, throw it, or hand it off, and try and just stay on track. And all the other stuff is outside noise that is there but shouldn't really matter, and looking forward to the challenge. I know it's a really cool place to play with lots of great history and fans, and it's an indoor stadium. Obviously, indoor stadiums are louder. You know, when you have, I think, like games in Minnesota or something, you know, they're just, the sound is closed, so it's going to be a little bit louder. So looking forward to it, and definitely be a big challenge.
Hey, Mac, I know you were asked this when you first got here, but just wondering, now you're actually starting. With everything that went back, you know, years ago in the draft about all the chatter about possibly coming here, has it finally hit you? Do you ever think that you'd actually be starting a game for the San Francisco 49ers as a quarterback?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think it's all part of God's plan. And obviously on draft day, like I said, you don't have control over where you're going to go, but God put me here for a reason, and I'm just blessed to be here and really thankful for the people here who have, you know, allowed me to get back on track. And obviously there's a lot more to do, and got to be ready for this Sunday and go out there and have fun and let it fly. And I put in the work, so that's all you can ask. At least give yourself a chance.
Just wanted to follow up. What would you say was the loudest NFL experience that you dealt with?
It's a great question.
Number three.
Not to compare to anybody, but I mean, obviously I played in Buffalo a few times. It's pretty loud on those Monday night and Thursday night games, and Minnesota was loud, but I've heard really good things about this place and New Orleans. So looking forward to seeing how loud it is. I know it'll be really loud, so it'll be fun. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so the answer was three.
Yep.
That was fun.
I put it at four, but
you,
yeah.
Yeah, we both overbid, so if we're on the Price is Right, we both lose, but you were closer if that rule's not in play.
If it's not, yeah. And
I don't know if it is or not.
Yeah, just looking at Mac Jones as a starter, 11-15 on the road, 9-14 at home.
Okay.
And that includes New England and Jacksonville, obviously. He's got wins at Buffalo. He's got, you know, wins in some tough environments. He's never been in New Orleans as a starting quarterback, so that might be
interesting.
A little bit different. But, you know, he's been a guy who's been able to go out and be successful on the road, so there's that in his resume.
There was also I want to stick with this, but a quick aside, if I may, that while Mac Jones was talking there and we were all
what happened?
Locked in and lit. Well, we batted around. Four to nothing.
Still batting. Yeah. It's pretty good.
More ducks on the pond.
We may have to turn our attention to Cincinnati and scoreboard watch the Reds. If the Mets continue on this trajectory,
it
might be more about the Natty, you know?
This is unbelievable. You know what I notice about this Mets game is even when it was like 1-0.
Yeah, but we're on to Cincinnati.
Yeah, no, not yet. But even when it was like 1-0, if you looked at the there goes more extra bases down the line. All right, so yeah, it's gonna be oof, wow.
What this happened, Skip?
here come more runs. Make it two more. So. Six to nothing.
Poor Tong, the pitcher for the Mets.
I think he's going to take a shower. So
he needs to. He's absolutely soaked. It's got to be pretty humid there in New York today.
Getting shelled. It's 6-0 Rangers in the top of the first. So, we're going to take him out. So, anyway, if you look at the facial expressions on the Mets in the dugout, literally, if there was a thought bubble next to him, it would just be like, oh, bleep, we're here at the yard again with our uniforms on. This won't go well.
Oh,
yeah.
Schmidt.
Yeah.
Totally.
Absolutely. So this is one hell of a collapse.
Reds in Sacramento tonight. You can stop by on your way and check out the Reds and the Athletics as they open up a 3-game series in that AAA ballpark where the Athletics happen to play.
The A's have they've won one in a row.
Which is nice.
So that's they're hot.
Kinda. I'm hot.
You're hot.
Your boy's hot. 6-0.
But you would do that after one in a row also.
I tried, but you guys tamped that down, and you were right to do so. You insisted I win no. 3 in a row, which didn't happen last year.
No, and now you've won 6 in a row, which is really quite a way to start the year. So Ride the Dibbers is going to be next hour. We do have Higher or Lower that we're going to play today because it's Friday, and if you're not familiar, just be with us in about 15 minutes, and Dibs will teach you how it works, and that's all kinds of fun. All right, back to Mac. Big Mac. So, I don't know. What'd you think? I mean, like, listening to him talk is pleasant enough.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, you know, like, smart guy. And, you know, I, like, gather some of the – I mean, I think that the way somebody kind of communicates and interacts with others as a quarterback, that's important. And so I think he's got that that piece of the puzzle. The rest of it comes Sunday.
Yeah, and he talked about, you know, Kendrick Bourne, KB, who he played with in New England, and, you know, being happy that he's here and somebody he has a connection with. And also the idea that he was here throughout voluntary workouts and OTAs. I know he missed about a week or so during camp with a minor knee injury. He, you know, missed about a week of those practices. But the fact that he's been around Ricky and Juwan and KB previously, that gives me a little bit more confidence that he's at least developed some chemistry with these players over the course of the last few months.
I'd hope, and the Kendrick part is really good. And I wonder, too, I mean, I doubt this had anything to do with it, but let's think about this for a sec. So, for example,
You okay?
Yeah, the Mets are out of the inning. The left fielder caught the last out by falling down.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in New York. Anyway, 6-0. So the way Kyle handled Monday, I'm sorry, not Monday, Sunday, after the game, go to the podium. And Kyle, I've never seen this before. Kyle is directly asked about Kendrick Bourne. The reason he was asked about Kendrick Bourne was because the assumption in that moment was Juwan Jennings looked very, very hurt. He was in a ton of pain. He could not go back out on the field. And we get word that in his locker, he couldn't lift his arm. And so that sounds like a multi-week absence. And maybe something even worse is what it sounded like in the moment. And Kyle is asked about a free agent in the press conference. And I was shocked to hear the way Kyle answered that question. Because normally I would think, like, guys, we just played a game. I have no idea what's going on with the status of our players going forward. We had Kendrick in for a visit earlier this week. It hasn't happened as of yet, but, you know, we'll let you know if something changes. Is the answer I would have expected. That's not the answer we got. The answer we got was, yeah, we're trying like hell to get him. We tried earlier this week. It didn't work, but he didn't sign anywhere else. So I'm hoping we can get him this week. And where my mind now suddenly goes, especially now knowing that Juwan is not hurt that bad. Not that he fully knew that in that moment, but I wonder if in that moment, Kyle already knew that Mac Jones was about to be playing football. And that's yet another reason to want Kendrick Bourne, because now your quarterback and another receiver have a little chemistry because they've played together. I wonder. I don't know. I don't know if that was a factor or not.
Could be.
Just kind of thinking out loud.
Here. I also look at Russell Gage, 28 snaps, no targets. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, 27 snaps, no targets. And I think about Sky Moore. He had 3 plays, and you'd rather not put him out there. He's more of a return specialist at this juncture. So, Juwan status aside, you've got Ricky Pearsall. I don't know if you saw the video of Brandon Ayuk. Must have been yesterday at practice, but he's closer than I thought. Just looking at him running around, he's running, he's cutting, he's in sweats, he's not in pads or anything yet, but he's actually doing things that look like football activities.
Right.
I'm not saying he'll be back next week, but for me, I was encouraged that he looked actually better and more spry. But in the short term, you've got Gage and Valdez-Scantling, who were not thrown to. Robbie Chosen's gone. Watkins, I think, will be back and up on Sunday. But outside of that, yeah, bring in Kendrick Bourne, somebody who you are familiar with, Mac is familiar with. And if you go forward with, you know, Juwan and Ricky and Kendrick Bourne. And Sky Moore.
And Watkins.
And Watkins. If that's your five, I think that's better than what you had last week.
I agree. Juwan is a total question mark, obviously. I don't know if he's going to play. The news has all been good this week. But he's listed as questionable. What was his practice report, by the way? Did he practice at all? Did Juwan practice at all this week? Or did they just list him as questionable? Did he actually get out there and do? I know Trent didn't do anything.
I know that Juwan was doing some things on the side in terms of actually participating in Niners practice. I don't think he did, but I'll double check.
Maybe probably limited.
Limited.
Yep.
Yeah.
There was also a little bit of a miscommunication. Kyle said today in his press conference that Trent was out there today in practice, although it was like half speed, he said, but he was out there.
Okay. I mean, and the rules for Trent, as we know, are different. The rules for Trent Williams have always been different, and they've never been more different than they are now. So that's another side of it as well. But
he's listed as limited today.
Trent or Juwan?
Trent.
Okay.
Limited. Watkins was full. Pooney was full. McCaffrey full. Juwan was limited.
Okay.
And he's questionable. And Gross Matos was limited. And then Bosa, Barch, and Gifford, they all were full. But the only guys listed on the report are Purdy out, and then Trent and Juwan questionable.
Yeah, I think and I don't know that Kyle would have answered this, but the question is, not knowing that Juwan's status, but how would you shake out those other receivers? The Kendrick Bourne, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Russell Gage. I guess we can put Watkins on the list. I think Watkins is probably going to be up. As you said, Moore will be up because he's a kick returner. Ricky is going to be up. Juwan's up if he's healthy. If that all happens, who's the fifth receiver? Who's the other guy? And I do hope it's Bourne. I hope it's Kendrick Bourne for multiple reasons. He knows the system better than even the other guys. The other guys didn't do much, and Mac Jones has played with him before. So this is not an educated opinion because I don't know what's going on in camp and how guys look and who's in shape and all that, but my fandom is hoping. I'm hoping it's Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah, me too. And I think for the familiarity and also, you know, the Mac Jones comfortability, but you look at what they did in the opener, and Kyle Juszczyk played almost half of the offensive snaps, which tells me that it was a lot of two running backs, and you know it was one tight end at least, which means only two receiver sets half the time. And even beyond that, they had two tight ends a bunch. So I'd have to look exactly how many times they had three receivers. It was about a quarter of the time, which in the NFL is very, very low.
Yeah, extremely low. All right. By the way, back to baseball for a second on a couple things. Rangers did a 1-2-3 inning in the bottom of the first.
That was fast.
End of one, 6-0 Rangers lead. Wow. The New York Mets, the Giants, and Dodgers will play in about 2.5 hours. Yoshinobu Yamamoto against Justin Verlander. What I'd love for you to look up is that the most letters between two starting pitchers in the history of Major League Baseball? But also, apparently, Justin Verlander is the subject matter. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Of higher or lower, which is only minutes away on 95.7 The Game.
Yes, we'll be playing off of his career strikeout total, which is 3,536. 3,536. So I have 10 items that are either higher or lower than 3,536.
Oh, God. That's
and I'll repeat the number because it's not a memorable number.
It's a big number.
It's a number. It's a number now. And I actually.
What is it going to be? Vowels in every country in the world?
How many, just sit tight back there.
How many stars are in the sky? Lower, Bob.
Today we have only two that are non sports out of nowhere. Only two.
Oh, that's too bad.
But the other ones are, you'll like them. They're pretty fun. They're pretty fun.
I like that one where we were doing bathrooms in the Pentagon.
Yeah.
Were we doing bathrooms in the Pentagon?
Yeah.
And how many are there?
200 and something.
Oh, wow.
Because of segregation. They had to double up.
That's a good place to have to go.
Yeah.
You get stuck places where you have to go.
The Pentagon. Yeah.
That's good.
And vowels in the 50 states was another one. Who's the defending champ, by the way? Was that? I know you guys have each won once. Was it a Lucas? Grandy, you won the first one, I know.
No, Lucas won the second one.
So you're the defending champ.
I won the third
one. So we'll start with you.
Yeah.
All right, perfect.
Well, that's exciting. I get to go first?
Yep.
Whee! I do have the answer to the question. You did ask, though, if is the most characters in a last name
most
matchup.
Letter, no.
It's got to be Justin Dukeshire against...
Full name.
Because, either way, that it's not going to be.
Okay, because I want the Yoshinobu in there, too.
Understood. The winner...
Yeah.
In terms of just last name and just adding the names of these yeah. people's first names, it checks out past this current matchup. This happened actually last August. Spencer Schwellenbach versus Simeon Woods Richardson.
Does hyphens.
William Van Landingham never got anybody?
He never faced Justin Dukeshire?
No. Where's? He probably faced Verlander. That guy's been pitching for so long.
No doubt.
All right. That's too bad. I was really hoping for that tonight. All right. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. 888-957-9570. That is the number. We're getting into all kinds of different machinations of the expectations around Mac Jones's 49ers, the Giants and the Dodgers playing tonight. We got higher or lower. We got ride the Dibbers. We got Friday at 5, which means I'll probably crack up at least 3 times. It's Willard and Dibs.
I mean, what kind of question is that?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I almost said a bad word there.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
I got a couple things that are completely off the map.
Okay.
Before we do higher or lower.
Let's go.
First of all, how about Aaron Jones has... Aaron Jones. I'm so into football mode.
3-2 and...
Who are you?
Aaron Judge.
Yeah, a little bit bigger than Aaron Jones.
He's like 2 Aaron Joneses.
Totally.
He has passed Joe DiMaggio on the home run list.
He has.
Aaron Judge.
Man.
362 home runs already. And then I also want to congratulate the Valkyries head coach, Natalie Nicasse. She has won WNBA Coach of the Year.
It's great.
Which is not surprising when you're an expansion team and you make the playoffs, but good Lord. Wow. Wow. 1 year Coach of the Year. So
it's pretty awesome. She's awesome. Not happy about it, though.
She's not happy about anything.
Well, she actually said that she thinks it should be coaching staff of the year.
Yeah,
which
of course
I loved
she does.
It. And you know, she's not wrong the way she said. Like, I don't do all the scouting myself. I don't do all the prep myself. I don't do the player development myself. It should be coaching staff of the year.
I wonder what
Natalie.
I wonder what Natalie's like at a taco truck. You know what I mean? Yeah, somebody's like, you want some refried beans? You want some rice? Yeah, put it on there, but I know that this, like...
How's the salsa, Natalie? Well, there could be a couple fewer onions and a few more tomatoes.
Fine, but
the cilantro counts a little light.
It's not perfect.
Right.
So we're going to keep working on this.
That's right.
Like, I mean, you guys keep doing what you're doing if you want. If you want to be a B-plus taco truck, that's fine. I don't know.
You want to strive to be better? I got some feedback for you, taco truck. I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah.
What's she like at a kid's birthday party?
You call that a pinata? Yeah.
Bounce house is a little too small. Okay.
Not bouncy enough.
Little Billy just pushed Rebecca in the back and nobody called a foul. And I'm sick of the way that we're officiating these bounce houses. She's locked in.
She is.
I'll give her that. She's locked in.
And this is a very difficult assignment coming up on Sunday at noon, or 10 o'clock, rather, no? No, it's noon.
10 a.m.
10 o'clock. It's noon local time. That's what I was thinking.
Got it.
That is a tough assignment, but when you make the playoffs as an expansion team, as the 8 seed, and you draw the number 1, all right, this is it's foul money. Go out there and steal one in Minnesota.
I just keep it real for a second. It's kind of a bummer time slot.
It is.
Valkyries, first ever playoff game. They're like, let's stick it right up against a Niner game. Just right up against, like literally give it the exact same, like, Scott, it was 7 hours. Are you going to scream in that? We're going to be like Valk's tip off. Like, damn, that's a tough one.
It is. Steiny made a good point, I thought, in the crossover about the demographic. I don't know how many of the core Valkyries fans are.
I don't know. I mean, NFL is king, but I also would respond to that by, right, but you're trying to grow. You're trying to grow, and look, I get it. The Lynx and the Valkyries and the whole league are not supposed to necessarily be thinking all about, but it's the first playoff game of the whole year. It's not just the Valkyries game. It is the first playoff game of the entire WNBA season, and they decided to just tuck it in at 10 a.m. Pacific time on week two of the NFL.
I don't know what the alternative is.
I don't know. How about Saturday?
You've got four game ones.
How about Saturday? What's Saturday doing?
I don't know if Saturday, I guess you could squeeze it in on Saturday.
Yeah, let's go.
Because the regular season ended for everybody yesterday.
Yeah, and the Valks were already there.
A little bit of a quick turnaround. That's just coincidence.
I understand that. But,
I get it.
You know.
The WNBA playoffs are on ESPN, so it couldn't really be Saturday because Saturday ESPN is college football all day.
Okay.
And ABC. I know that the big game of the day, which they were hoping for with Caitlin Clark, is not going to be as big because Caitlin Clark won't play, but that's the one game on ABC.
Yeah, that's the noon game Sunday. Yeah. Indiana and Atlanta.
Oof.
I will say the Seattle Storm and the Las Vegas Aces, they get to start at 7 o'clock our time, which means once that Sunday night football game is over, they'll still be going. When you get to the end, if you haven't had enough, click it on over to ESPN and check out a little Storm versus Aces.
And then it's Wednesday, right, down in San Jose, the Valkyries and the Lynx in game two. So
that is an accurate statement.
Yep.
And
7
Wednesday,
o'clock.
Wednesday, great. Perfect. Let's do lots of Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Yep.
I'm all in on that for all the other sports. Just take over. Let's do doubleheaders. They should play game three also. Just play it right there.
Just run it right back.
Yeah, run it.
The problem with the NFL is they've gotten greedy. Now they got Thursday, Sunday, and Monday.
They haven't gotten greedy. They've never not been greedy.
I know, but now that they've been like, hey, you know what? Friday in Brazil. Kapow! Everybody else who might want something on Friday.
Skirting the rules. You know the whole rule on Friday about high school football. There's an old law, and they got around it by doing a number of things because they started doing, obviously, Black Friday on Thanksgiving week, too. But first of all, you're allowed to stream it. And second of all, you're allowed to do it in a different country. You can't do it here.
Right.
So like, great. Netflix, Brazil, done.
What else you got? We're going to go ahead.
You got any other problems you need us to fix?
Exactly. We'll go ahead and, I mean, we'll play this thing on the moon if we have to.
Oh, gosh. All right. So you want to do this? You ready to do this?
Before we do that, can I add one more thing?
Yeah.
You mentioned Aaron Judge at the very beginning, passing DiMaggio, right?
Sure.
He also just hit his 19th first-inning home run of the season, most in a single season in MLB history, breaking a tie with himself and Alex Rodriguez.
Breaking a tie with himself.
From last year.
It's unbelievable, man. I remember those 11 minutes when he was a Giant.
Boy.
Remember those?
Remember that show we did in...
those were fun.
Yeah. Was that Linden? Linden, California?
That was not him. That was Arson.
Whatever.
I remember 11 minutes.
That was one of
minutes.
My best, worst ideas ever.
I remember those 11 minutes when I thought Arson and Aaron were the same person, though. That's what I thought. And yeah, it wasn't just Linden. It was it like the Lions Club or something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Drafty Lions Club. Go ahead and leave the door open. Boy, it's freezing. We drove to Linden to do a show on the auspices that maybe the Judge family would be like, these guys are really into it. We need to have him sign with the Giants.
We started with, can we get Aaron's dad on? Nope. Then it was like, I wonder if we could get Aaron's high school coach on. I wonder if we could get like one of Aaron's friends on. This whittled its way down to, I wonder if the guy across the street at the gas station will talk to us. And he wouldn't either.
No.
I talked to you. Well, and you talked to me.
We had Kyle Madsen.
That's what we had.
We had Kyle Madsen live from across the street.
He went to the gas station and he tried to get the guy at the gas station and ended up just booking himself.
Yeah. Guys, there's a deli here and they've got sourdough rolls. Back to you. Kyle Madsen, love him. He did his level best.
Live from Linden, California. They, too, have those little spinny hot dogs who have been here since last week.
That's right.
Back to you, Dibs.
We go live to the gas and sip across the street. Kyle, what do you got? Not a thing, guys.
Dude, that show had everything but banjos. We needed some banjos.
Yeah.
Bing, 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 bing.
Totally.
Bing, 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 bing. Oh, my God.
I don't think I ever submitted my expense report for that mileage. Wonder if it's too late, Steiny.
$1,100.
Seriously.
Plus interest.
This guy is such a D.
All right.
I know.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, HD1, San Francisco. An Odyssey sports station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and the playoff-bound Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.